Tonight we're going to have a Purim Shia, so we are going to talk about the idea of Simcha on Purim, the requirement of having Simcha on Purim, what the nature of this requirement is. Now obviously everyone always says, a Freilich on Purim, a happy Purim, Purim Sameach. Simcha is certainly a very key theme of Simcha, is a very key theme of the day of Purim. But what exactly is the gedder of the mitzvah Simcha? Meaning, we have a mitzvah Simcha on other Yom Tovim as well, but it doesn't look anything like the mitzvah Simcha on Purim. I shouldn't say it doesn't look anything like, but it doesn't look exactly like the mitzvah of Simcha on Purim. On other Yom Tovim, for example, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, 10th paragraph of Pesachim, tells us that how does one fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha? So, Nashim Baroy Lehem, V'Nashim Baroy Lehem. Men have Yayin or Basar, and women have clothing, and we're mechalik kleios v'agoz, and we give candies to the children. Everyone with what's misameach them. Do we ever find anywhere in Shulchan Aruch to buy nice clothing for one's wife for Purim? We don't have such a thing. Do we ever find a thing of giving candies, even though it's become a very, very common thing to give candies, but that's just a derivative of Shalach Manos, but to give candies to the children as a mitzvah of Simchas Purim, we don't really have that. So what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah of Simcha? So tonight's shiur is lifted pretty much entirely from Rav Asher Weiss. I say pretty much entirely. The plan is that it's going to be entirely, unless I just go off at some point. But it's probably entirely from Rav Asher Weiss and Milchas Asher on the Moadim, where he starts out by saying, well, the pasuk in the Megillah clearly defines the mitzvos of the day, and it mentions Simcha amongst the mitzvos of the day. V'achodesh shenepachlem miyagel nesimcha me'evel liyom tov lasos osam yemei. Mishta v'simcha, they're defined as days of Mishta v'simcha u'mishloach manos ishreya matanos avyonim. So Mishta, we know, is the su'uda, let's say. Mishloach manos is mishloach manos. Matanos avyonim is matanos avyonim. Simcha is apparently the X factor. It's a day of simcha on some level, thrown right in the middle of the description of all of the chiyuvim of the day. So the basic chakira that the achronim deal with is, how do we understand the mitzvah of Simcha? Is it like the mitzvah of Simcha on every other Yom Tov, where Simcha is a function of the Kedushas Hayom? Meaning, we don't celebrate Sukkot because we're happy on Sukkot. We're happy because it's Sukkot. It's Sukkot, and therefore it has a special Kedushas Hayom. It's a Yom Tov that's defined by the Torah, and that generates a Chiyuv Simcha. Where Pesach is a time that's a moed, according to the Torah defines as moed, and that generates a chiyuv simcha. So should we say the same thing by Purim, that there is a certain character to the day of Purim, a certain kedusha sayom, if you will, even though it's not really kedusha sayom, there's no Mr. Malacha, but some type of atzmus hayom, some type of essential quality of the day that then generates a chiyuv simcha? Or maybe no. Maybe the whole mitzvah of Simcha on Purim is generated by the mitzvos hayom of Purim. Meaning, Chazal couldn't make the day a happy day. But what they could do is tell us to do a whole bunch of happy things. A whole bunch of things that make people very happy. So Simcha is then an outgrowth of what we do, but it's not a reflection of the day itself. It's not that the Kedushas Hayom is where the Simcha comes from.
Or the Pasuk doesn't sound like that.
What?
Or the Pasuk doesn't sound like the second.
Why not? Right, but it also throws Simcha right in with everything else. So maybe that's part of, I mean, Simcha can only be accomplished through Mishta, Mishloach Manos, and Matanos Avyon, and that's why it puts it all together. Now, maybe just to say the first half of the Chakira a little different. It's not that the Kedushas Hayom is what generates the Simcha, but from the Kedushas Hayom, which has Simcha bound up in it, the mitzvos emerge. Meaning, we eat matzah on Pesach because it's Pesach. And the Atzmus Hayom is Pesach, which is a moed, which is a happy day, and that therefore generates certain chiyuvim, like eating matzah and maror and all the mitzvos hayom. Whereas on Purim, let's say, we'll say it the reverse, that it's the mitzvos hayom that make the character of the day, not the character of the day that generate the mitzvos hayom. So it could be that there are several, and it could be that this issue is subject to the debate of poskim in a number of different areas. But before we even get to that, Rav Asher offers a mashal to try to understand the second sad of this chakira. the idea that that Jeremy was just saying, that doesn't sound like from the pasuk, but the second side of this chakira is that the mitzvah of simcha is only an outgrowth of the mitzvah sayom, but it's not part of the essential nature or character of the day, is a nesivus, a comment the nesivus has in Reish Lamedalim, in Choshen Mishpat, a well-known nesivus. People only know one nesivus, know this nesivus. The nesivus has a discussion. The Gemara in one or two places tells us about something called the Nisr Gavra and Nisr Chefza. The Briskers went wild with it and decided to run all over the place with it. But it really doesn't appear in that many places. It's by Nedarim. The difference between a Neder and a Shvua. So there's something, sometimes you make an Isser on the Gavra, you say, Hare Alai, on me is going to be an Isser that I'm not going to have whatever, chocolate cake or something like that. That's your own Isser. It's not that the chocolate cake is itself a Chefza Shel Isser. Or you could say, Hare Zu, that this item becomes aser to me. And that makes an iser cheftza. So the nesivus, following suit from many other achronim, raises the issue of, okay, now I know about neder and shvua, what about every other iser in the Torah? Is every other iser in the Torah an iser gavra or an iser cheftza? So the nesivus says, very simply, it depends. Anything that's an iser daraisa is an iser cheftza. An iser drabanan is an iser gavra. It says, for example, let's say someone sold you something, and it turned out a piece of food, and it turned out to be nevela, midor raisa, and you ate it already, and it was delicious. So you paid for the meal, you had a meal, you ate the meal, everything was, can you go and ask for your money back? So the Shulchan Aruch says that when it's an issur daraisa, you can, but if it's an issur drabanan, you can't. So the Nesivus explains why. Because if it's an issur daraisa, you had something that was flawed, that was faulty. He gave you something that was bad. It had this inherent flaw in it. But when it's an issur drabanan, all issurim drabanan are only in a segavra. The Rabbanan are not empowered to say that anything in creation has characteristics of issur. All the Rabbanan are empowered to do is to say, you aren't allowed to have that. But they can't give it characteristics of Isser. So if you ate an Isser Drabanan, and you ate it, and it's over, so you can't go back and ask for your money back. You got exactly what you want. That really didn't need anything. That was inherently Isser. So the Rav Asher suggests that maybe that's the same idea over here. That the Rabbanan have the ability to tell you what to do on a given day. But they do not have the ability to redefine the character of a given day. So to just like they can't make an Isser Chefza, but they can tell you how you can behave toward that Chefza, maybe the same is true with a Yom, with Kedushas HaZman, that the Rabbanan can tell you, on this day, Yud Dalet Adar, every year, you should give Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, have a Seuda, do all the mitzvot Sayom, Kriyas HaMegillah, all the mitzvot Sayom. And that hopefully will generate a feeling of Simcha, but they can't turn the day into a Yom Shel Simcha, into a day that's inherently a day of Simcha. That would be the Svara on the second side of the Chakira. So where do we find that there's any discussion about this? So the Bir Halacha in three places, Rav Asher points out. First, you have the Bir Halacha in Siman Tafresh Sadi Beis, talks about if a guy doesn't have a Megillah, if a person doesn't have a Megillah, does he say a Shechianu? So normally we say the Shechianu on the mitzvah, that it's a mitzvah that comes every once in a while that we're very excited about, of Kriyas HaMegillah, everyone gets excited for Kriyas HaMegillah, so we say Shechianu on the mitzvah. But what if there is no Megillah? So now, what do? Do you still say Shechianu on the Kedushas HaYom of Purim, on the Etzem HaYom of Purim? So the Bir Halacha raises this issue, and he says that Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in Moruch Tziyah that yes, you say Shechianu on the Etzem HaYom of Purim. Quotes from Meiri and Shabbos that if a person doesn't light Ner Chanukah and he doesn't see Ner Chanukah, he still makes a bracha of Shasa Nisim and Shechianu on the Etzem Hayom of Chanukah. However, the Bir Halacha himself isn't so convinced, La Halacha, that that would be the case, that you'd say Shechianu on the Yom absent the mitzvah. What's the Nekuda Samachlokas? What are they arguing about? So it's possible, at least, that what they're arguing about is, does the Yom, absent any of the mitzvahs Yom, have inherent qualities of a mitzvah simcha, have inherent qualities of a day that's a Yom Shel Simcha? If you hold that it's an inherent din in the day, like the first side of the Chakir we said before, it's its own Kedushas HaYom, and from there the mitzvahs emerge, from the Kedushas HaYom the mitzvahs emerge, well then you should make Shechianu even if you don't do the mitzvahs. But if you hold it, no, there's no inherent quality of a mitzvah simcha. It's just that you do all of these other mitzvahs hayom, and from there simcha emerges. Well, then, absent the mitzvahs, there's no reason that one would make shachianu. That's one possible. Yeah.
Isser has been in tainus on most yom tovim a function of the simcha of the day.
So, but Hespen and Tainus is a much lower threshold. Meaning, it could just be Hespen and Tainus is more of avoiding a negative. It's not a positive simcha, like throughout Chodesh Nisan, and like there are a lot of other Rosh Chodesh. There are a lot of times where we'll ask for Hespen and Tainus, so you don't need a genuine mitzvah simcha in order to.
Even though the whole thing's only Darabbanan, I mean, on Rosh Chodesh, you could say. So, because that's Doraisa. So, Doraisa, it infuses the day with even that lower level simcha, whatever. But over here, it's completely Darabbanan.
Yeah, but FLPK, I think there's a difference between a positive mitzvah simcha and just avoiding things that are inherently sad. A second case where this might come up, in Siman Tav Reish Pei Ches, Siv Vav, the Shulchan Aruch discusses a situation we don't have this year called Purim HaMeshulash, where if you have Yud Dalet falls on Friday, and Tes Vav falls on Shabbos, and then Tes Zayin falls on Sunday, so how do you scatter around the Mitzvah Sayom for Yerushalayim? What do we do on a Purim HaMeshulash? So it mentions, the Shulchan Aruch says that you read Megillah on Friday, and you say Alanisim on Shabbos, and the Purim you have on Sunday. So it's an amazing thing that you have in Yerushalayim that year, on a Purim Mishulash year, you divide it over 3 days. You divide Purim up over 3 days for different halachas. So the Beis Yosef says, why don't you say Alanisim on Friday? That's when you're reading the Megillah. So shouldn't you say Alanisim on the day you read the Megillah? So and Misvara, the Beis Yosef seems to be not that way, but he passes in Shulchan Aruch that Alanisim is said on Shabbos and not on Friday, on the day we read the Megillah. So the Radvaz says he doesn't even understand the kasha of the Beis Yosef. Why would you say Alanisim a day early? Meaning, if your Purim is Tezvav and Tezvav is Shabbos, what's the Beis Yosef's Hava Mina to say Alanisim the day before it's really Purim? What, just because you're reading the Megillah? What does the fact that you're reading the Megillah have to do with Purim? You're reading the Megillah early that year, but that's not Purim. So l'chora, these two tzadim are totally on this same chakira that we mentioned before. If you say that there's no kedushas hayom, there's no inherent character of simcha in the day, so then it's mistaver that when are you going to say alanisim? On the day that you do the mitzvah sayom. And the primary mitzvah sayom is the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. So on the day you're going to read the Megillah, that's when you'll say the alanisim. But if you're going to say that, and this is where we pass in La Halacha, that there is some sort of cheftza shel moed, that it does have a certain inherent character of Kedusha Sayom. So even if you read Megillah a day early, because of we're afraid, we don't want you to read Megillah on Shabbos, because Shemi Yavrivenu Dalet Amos Bereshis Harav, we're afraid you're going to end up carrying Megillah. Yeah, that's fine, but the actual day of Purim is still the actual day of Purim, and that day should get the Alanisim. So that may be what's at the root of that Machlokas as well. A third place where we might find this Machlokas comes up, Nagos Maimonios, in Hilchos Tefillah, the second paragraph of Hilchos Tefillah, in the Rambam Hilchos Tefillah, writes, Omer al Hanisim ba'arvis Purim, afal pi shalo karu es ha-Megillah. That you say al Hanisim tomorrow night, and Marav on Purim, even before we read the Megillah, because we daven Marav right before we read the Megillah. So what's the Chiddush? Of course, it's Purim already. It says, V'lo kasher pasak b'seder Rav Amram, she'em la'omer ad la'achar kriyas ha-Megillah. And not like it says in Seder Rav Amram, that you don't say Alanisim until you've read the Megillah once. That's what he quotes from Rav Amram. So the Ramah even is merames to the Shita in Siman Tav Reish Tzadik Gimel Sif Beis. He says, Belel Yodalid, Af al pi shelo karu ha-Megillah, adayin omer Alanisim b'tfilas arvis. So the Ramah even gives Rav Amram the kavod of mentioning that we don't pass him like it. I mean, he says, even though we didn't read the Megillah, we still say Alanisim et Mariv on Purim night. So, l'chora, what's Rav Amram talking about? Would it ever be Ola Ladas to say that on Mariv, the first night of Pesach, we shouldn't say Yalav Yavo, because we haven't eaten matzah yet? Matzah is only first at the Seder. We haven't eaten matzah. We had a whole day of not eating matzah on Erev Pesach, because you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. We haven't eaten matzah yet, so it's not really Pesach. or on the first night of Sukkot, not to say Yalav Yavo in the tefillah, because we haven't sat in Sukkot yet. You only sit in Sukkot when you get home. So we would never be Olah L'das. We never have such a Havamina. So where does Rav Amram get this idea that you're not going to say Al Anisim at Maariv because you didn't read Megillah yet? What does that have to do with the other? But it could be that that's exactly the issue. That maybe what Rav Amram is saying is that unlike Pesach and Sukkot, where there is a Kedushas Hayom Be'etzem, there is an inherent quality of Kedushas Hayom, and that doesn't depend on the Mitzvos Hayom. It's the Mitzvos Hayom that emerge from the day's Kedusha, and not vice versa. So of course you're going to say Yalav Yavo, whether you did the Mitzvos Hayom or not. But by Purim, Purim is different, because Purim has no Kedushas Hayom in its own right. It's only the Mitzvos Hayom that generate that sense of simcha and that sense of Kedushas Hayom. And therefore, maybe until you've started doing the Mitzvos Hayom, like reading the Megillah, maybe you don't yet have the ability to say Al Anisim to actually discuss the Kedushas Hayom. So that's the three possible machlokos that we find in Rishonim and in Achronim that may relate to this fundamental chakira. Then Rav Asher points to a piece that Rav Zhalti has in Mishnah Siyavitz, where Rav Zhalti has an unbelievable deal in the psukim of the Megillah itself that describes the nature of the Simchas Hayom of Purim. Rav Zhalti writes in Orach Chaim of Mishnah Siyavitz Chelek Orach Chaim, a lot of times people have, it's a three-volume set, Rav Zhalti said. He's got one volume on Orach Chaim and Moadim, one volume on Yaradeya, and one volume on Chosh and Mishpat, and I think maybe Taros also, together with Chosh and Mishpat. So usually, if you ever see someone who has the Sefer Mishnah Siyavitz, there's one volume that's well used, and the other two, like, you could crack open, you could, never used. The Orach Chaim Moadim volume is a very, very well used Sefer. It's a beautiful shiurim on everything, in, you know, on all the Yom Tovim, and a lot of wonderful issues. Yaradeya and Chosh and Mishpat are also the same. Same style, same beauty, same... But people don't learn those in Yanin as much when they're looking for a good shiur. You know, if you're going to learn Yaradeya, you're going to learn Chosh and Mishpat. No one needs to say a shiur in Yaradeya and Chosh and Mishpat. That's usually just something people want to learn. But So Rav Zhalti has this beautiful sefer. So in the Orach Chaim volume, Siman Ayin Tes, he says that there's a difference between Yom Tovim, where there's a mitzvah simcha be'etzem, like the Rambam describes. In the sixth parak of Hilchos Yom Tov, the Rambam writes, Chayiv Adam Lios Ben Sameach V'Tov Lev Hu Ubana V'Ishto V'Neveso V'Chol Nilvim Alav, that person has to be happy, have a glad heart, he and his entire family, anyone who relies on him, Afal Pisha Simcha Murakani Karban Shlamim, and even though the real simcha of a Yom Tov is a Karban Shlamim, part of the mitzvah of Simcha Midoraisa is also to make everyone else around you happy. What you see is that the Rambam is describing Simcha as part of the nature of the day of Yom Tov itself, and that's why you need to make sure everyone is happy. Anashim with meat and wine, Nashim with big day tzavonim, Kitanim with candies, everyone with what works. And that's why the Rambam in the very next halacha, Halacha Yud Ches over there, goes on to tell you how to make everyone happy. This is how you make this one happy, this is how you make that one happy. But by Purim, the mitzvah simcha is not be'etzem hayom, it's a mitzvah's mishta, which is a maisa shel simcha. Meaning what Chazal said is, do this, and when you do this, you will likely feel happy after doing it. So drink a lot of wine, give a lot of gifts, do a lot of nice things, and when you do these things, you will feel simcha. And that's what the Rambam writes in the second parak of Hilchos Megillah, Chova su'uda zu sheyochal basar v'yisakin su'uda na'a, the chiv of this su'uda is to eat meat, make a nice meal. He starts describing activities. He's not describing simcha, he's describing what you do. And then, v'shosi yayin achi ishtaker, drink wine until you become intoxicated. All of this is what you do. It's not what you feel. In the thought process of Chazal was to do these things so that you'll achieve a certain feeling, but the feeling itself they couldn't mandate. And he says, based on that, it's an unbelievable diuk in the psukim of the Megillah itself. If you look in the two psukim that are just a few psukim away from each other, in Perek Tes Pasuk Yutes and Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Beis. So they're about here somewhere. A lot of makoros here. Yeah, in source number 11. Al kein hayudim ha-pruzim ha-prazim ha-prazim ha-yoshim ba'arei ha-prazos osim es yom arba'as al-chodesh adar. They made the 14th day of Chodesh Adar Simcha umishta v'yomtov umishlach manos Yisrael. Simcha first, then mishta, then yomtov. Good? And of course, mishlach manos as well. Now, if you look in source number one, Perek Tes Pasuk Chaf Beis, Kayam Mashenachu Behem HaYehudim Me'aveihem, V'chodesh Shenebach Lehem Miyagel Nesimcha Me'evel Yomtov, La'asos Osam. So we make these days, on the day that we rested, we finally were able to rest from our enemies, which is also an interesting idea, that it's not the day that we were victorious. It's the day that we were able to rest because we were victorious the previous day. Which tells you maybe something different about Purim than the other Yom Tov. Most Yom Tov we celebrate the day that it happened, the day of the anxiety and the salvation. The day of the anxiety and the salvation was the day before by Purim. It's the Yom Asher Nachu. It's the day that we rested, just the Ha'ara. But anyway, so what do we do? La'asos osam yimei mishta v'simcha. It talks about mishta first, then simcha, and leaves out Yom Tov. And goes right into Mishloach Manos. So the Gemara in Maseches Megillah and Daf Hem Beis already notes the difference between the two psukim and says clearly there was a thought process here. The Chazal saw what happened. They said, okay, we're going to make this kind of day, and it just didn't fly, and they had to go with something else. Like they wanted to originally, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, originally they were going to make a certain type of day. So originally they wanted to be Misakin, the Gemara says, a Yom Tov, and to make it Aser Basias Malacha, to make it a day where you can't even do Malacha. And then they realized, how are you going to drive around and deliver Shalach Manas if you can't do Malacha? So the Maskana, they decided not to be Misakin Nisr Malacha, it's Mishtav Simcha Lon. So the Mishnah Siavitz points out, why does it originally, when it was Yom Tov, it's Simcha and then Mishta. Simcha, Mishta, Yom Tov. And then, when they didn't make it a Yom Tov, it's Mishta v'Simcha. It says, because originally they wanted to make it a Yom Tov, part of the character of Yom Tov is that there's an inherent nature of the day of the Yom Tov. So that would be a day of Simcha and Mishta, because the Yom Tov itself can have a mitzvah Simcha that's inherent to the day. You could have Simcha, and then what do you do with that Simcha? Mishta and everything else. Meaning that the Mishta is an outgrowth of the Simcha, which is inherent to the day. But that's not the way it turned out. They couldn't make it a Yom Tov. And since they didn't make it a Yom Tov, whether they couldn't or they didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't make it a Yom Tov, they had to flip the order. They couldn't make it a day of Simcha, because if it's not a Yom Tov, they can't give the day any characteristics. What they can do, though, is tell you what to do. So here's what you do. Have a party. Mishta. And from that Mishta emerges Simcha. So l'chora, this issue may be a point of dispute amongst the poskim. In Siman Tafrei Sadivav, Siv Zayin, the Mechaber writes that we're knowing Avelos on Purim, and the Ramah disagrees and says we're not knowing Avelos on Purim itself. So what are they arguing about, whether we're knowing Avelos on Purim itself or not? Maybe that's the point. Is Purim itself a day of Simcha, or is it a day where we do happy things? If it's a day of Simcha, then it's a stira to the Avelos. If it's not a day of Simcha, it's not a stira to the Avelos. It's just a day where there are mitzvos hayom that might lead you to an emotion that's a stira to the Avelos, but it's in itself is not a stira to the Avelos. The Mechaber writes that you're allowed to get married on Purim, and it's not a violation of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Why is it not a violation of Ein Marvin? So you're not allowed to get married in Yantiv, Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. The Gemara says, the Gemara gives a few reasons, but that's one of them, that Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Taz quotes from others that no, you're not allowed to get married on Purim. It is a violation of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. What are they arguing about? L'chora, say machlokas. If you hold that the day is inherently a day of Simcha, so then it's Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. You can't mix two Simchas. You can't get married on Purim itself. But if you don't hold that it's inherently a day of Simcha, you hold it's just the mitzvah sayom that generate the Simcha. So then there would be no reason not to get married on Yom Tov. However, having said all that, Rav Asher is not convinced. He says, "Lanias daiti." Even though it's really it's a beautiful diuk in the pasuk that we change around the mishta and the simcha and the simcha and the mishta once we pull out the yom tov. He says it's a beautiful diuk, but he says, "Pashut be'enai kebe'asa kebakutcha de mitzvah liyosameach v'tov leiv b'purim de mikol makom hayamim yimei mishta v'simcha b'muvana pashut." He says it has to be that part of the nature of the day is a mitzvah simcha. And when Chazal were masaking to drink and to eat, it's not to create simcha, it's an expression of the simcha that we already have. It's not to generate the simcha, it's to express the simcha that we already feel. And he says, don't be medayik from the Lashon of the Rambam that there's no mitzvah simcha, because the Rambam only talks about su'uda, you know, like the Mishnah Siyavitz wanted to say. Because if you look carefully at the Rambam writes in Halacha Yudalid, mitzvahs yom yudalid l'bnei kfarim va'ayaros, v'yom tesvav l'bnei krachim. He describes, on these dates, what is the mitzvah? Lios, and the Rambam uses the words, yom simcha umishta. The Rambam says, it's a day of simcha mishta. Now notice, what did the Rambam do? He put simcha before mishta, which is like the hava mina was. And the Rambam describes, that is the day. And he says, so you see there's simcha mishta. And not only that, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tafrei Sadivav Siv Zayin writes, mitzvah da oraisa l'smach b'purim, de divrei kabbalah ke divrei Torah. You want to say, nah, the Rabbanan don't have the right to make a day and give it character of simcha. The Rabbanan can't change a day. They can't do it. No, the Shulchan Aruch says it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to be mesameach on Purim. Because Divrei Kabbalah have that level. It's almost like Divrei Torah itself. So you see that there is a mitzvah of simcha on Purim. It's just that in Hilchus Yom Tov, the Rambam adds, that in Yom Tov, the simcha has to go beyond yourself. The simcha has to go, you have to make sure that it's ishto, banav, b'nei beso, to tell us this halacha, this additional halacha, that you have to be mesameach all those around you as well. And that halacha doesn't exist on Purim. But the etzem halacha of simcha does exist. That's a din of simcha. Meaning what Rav Asher is saying is, I'm not going to tell you that the mitzvah of simcha on Purim exactly matches the mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov. It doesn't. Because the mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov has certain things about buying clothing for your wife and candy for your kids and things like that. The karban shlamim. We don't have a karban shlamim on Purim. There's no. It's clearly we don't have a mitzvah on Yom Tovim. It's clearly a different nature of the. There's a different how to in terms of the simcha, in terms of how to express the simcha. But that doesn't mean that our simcha is not a real simcha on Purim. It doesn't mean that we're just trying to artificially generate simcha through the mitzvos. The simcha may be a real simcha, it just may have a slightly different geder of what the simcha is. So he says, on Yom Tov and on Purim, there's a mitzvah of simcha, but they're different gedarim of the mitzvah of simcha. So he says, on Purim, how does the Megillah describe? Mishta v'simcha. It's a drinking type of simcha. It's a party type of simcha. Whereas in Yom Tov, it's a different kind of simcha. And even the halachas that we mentioned before, avelus on Purim, getting married on Purim, right? We thought that those two machlokos, about avelus on Purim, is really about, is there a mitzvah of simcha on Purim? They don't even line up with each other. Meaning, the way we were saying it before is, if you hold that you observe avelus on Purim, that means you hold that there's no etzem character of simcha on Purim. And that would mean that you would be allowed to get married on Purim. So if you hold that you observe avelus, it means you're allowed to get married. And if you hold that you don't observe avelus, that's because there is a character of simcha to the day, and that would mean ein rav simcha simcha, you're not allowed to get married. He says, but if you actually look at what poskim actually say, they don't line up that way. It doesn't work. The Ramah is cholik on the mechaber by avelus, but not by nisuin. He disagrees with the mechaber with regard to the avelus, right? That we mentioned before. The mechaber says that avelus is noeg on Purim. The Ramah says avelus is not noeg on Purim. So we thought that means that the Ramah holds that there's simcha batzmuso, that there's an inherent character of simcha. Yeah, but then the Ramah doesn't argue with the mechaber when he says that you're allowed to get married on Purim. Well, why are you letting get married? What happened to the simcha of the day? Ein marvin simcha b'simcha. So you see that it's not the same. Taz and Magen Avram, who disagree with the Shulchan Aruch by nisuin on Purim, by getting married on Purim, because of ein marvin simcha b'simcha, don't necessarily side with the Ramah when it comes to avelus. So you have to look at each halacha. Each halacha may be different in terms of not whether it's an inherent character of the day or not, but each halacha may just be different in terms of whether it fits into the type of simcha that we're generating on that day, that we're looking for, or that we're expressing, I should say, on that day. So then the last thing Rav Asher does is he says, let's go through the actual mitzvos hayom and see how they are either an expression of or a generator of, whichever way you want to say, but he's more inclined to say an expression of the simcha of Purim. Meaning, the day is, you may mishta the simcha, so everything we do should be geared towards simcha. Now, some of the things are obvious. Su'uda, that's what we always do when we have simcha. We always have a su'uda. But when we have a su'udas yom tov, there are certain gedarim of a su'udas yom tov. Ein simcha lebebasar, we try to make sure we have meat. Do you have to have meat at a su'udas purim? Normally, a su'udas yom tov, you have to wash. You can't just have a su'uda and say, I'm in a low-carb diet, I don't have, can't have bread, and then just not wash. You have to wash for a su'udas yom tov. Do you have to wash for su'udas purim? Now, if it's exactly like that simcha, then it should be, these things shouldn't be subject to any sort of debate. It should be obvious. You should need meat, and you should need to have bread. You should need to wash for su'udas purim. But what about the other mitzvahs of the day? Is mishloach manos a mitzvah of simcha? Is matanos levyonim a mitzvah of simcha? For who? Is it a simcha for me? A simcha for the evyon? How do we view all of these halachos in light of the general nature of the mitzvah of simcha and purim? So the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah writes, Ketzad chov suda zu sheyochel basar v'yisakin suda na. Perek Beis Halacha Tezvav. He says, how do we do this suuda? We eat meat and we make a nice meal. So you see from the Rambam that there's a chiyuv to eat meat at suudas purim. Where does he get the idea that there's a chiyuv to eat meat? It doesn't say that anywhere explicitly in the Gemara. So the Gemara sort of does hint to it. If you look in the Gemara Megillah on Dav Zayin, somewhere, yeah, the Gemara Megillah in source number 17, Tani Rav Yosef, Umishlach Manos Ishla Rei Ehu, Shtei Manos Ish Echad, Umatanos Avyonim, Shtei Matanos Shnei Bnei Adam. Rabbi Yehuda, so that's just the definition of the mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Shadalei Rabbi Oshia, Atma De Igla Tilta, V'garba Dechama. He sent some meat and some wine. Shalach Lei, Kiyamta Ban Rabbeinu, Mishlach Manos Ishrei, Matanos Avyonim. So he said, you've been Mekayim the mitzvah, Mishlach Manos Matanos Avyonim. Why was he sending him meat and wine? So certainly, if you can understand like the Trumas Deshen, that Mishlach Manos is to enable someone to fulfill the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim, so he sent him meat and wine, because that's what you got to have for Su'udas Purim. So the Gemara is not saying that you need meat for Su'udas Purim, but the Gemara is telling us that when someone wanted to help someone else fulfill the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim, what they gave them was meat. They gave them actual meat and wine. And it's also, you could prove this also from the Gemara Mba Metzia, Dafayin Ches, the same idea, this emphasis on meat. Where's the Gemara B'Metzia Dafayin Ches? It's here somewhere. The Gemara B'Metzia Dafayin Ches says that when you collect funds for Purim, it has to be used specifically for the holiday of Purim. You're not allowed to divert the funds for other things. Yes, in source number 30. Magvas Purim l'Purim, Magvas Yir lo'si'ir, Ve'ein medaktikin b'davar. You're not allowed to be medaktik b'davar. We'll get to that in a few minutes, what that means. Avalokchin es ha'agolim v'shochtin v'ochnosan v'mosar yipol l'kis shel tzedakah. You buy whatever animals you need to buy, you shecht them, you eat them, you have extras, you'll give that to tzedakah. So what's the Gemara describing when it talks about magvas purim l'purim? You collect money for Purim, it's got to go specifically for Purim. You buy meat and you shech the meat. So it sounds like the mitzvah of simcha is, the mitzvah of suudas purim is supposed to be done specifically with meat. And that's probably why the Rambam says it. The Rambam says it's got to be done with meat. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Tafres Sadivav Siv Zayin writes, Yesh mi sha'omer, sha'onein mutter bebasar v'yayin, d'loas yaseh d'yachad avelus, v'dach yaseh d'ram d'oraisa, lishtos peperim, d'divrei kabbalah ninu, sharei shehim k'divrei Torah. That Shulchan Aruch quotes a deya that an onein who's normally not allowed to have basar, not allowed to have yayin, on Purim is allowed to have basar v'yayin. Why? Because he's chayiv to have basar v'yayin, and that's a simcha derabim. So you see that also from the Shulchan Aruch, that the Suudas Purim is supposed to be dafka basar. It's dafka supposed to be yayin, we know about, but a dafka has to be basar as well. That's always, when we first got married, our Shalach Manos every year was a lot smaller list if we would try to give to everyone we knew. So, however many couples lived on our block, so whatever it was, 10 people that we had to make Shalach Manos for. So we'd make deli sandwiches for Shalach Manos. Deli sandwiches, a bag of potato chips and some pickles and a can of soda in a brown paper bag, and that was the Shalach Manos. So why did we do that? So I did it based on alumnus. I thought that it's Yotze Kol HaDeos, meaning the point is the Trumas HaDeshen holds that that the idea of the Mishloach Manos is supposed to help someone fulfill the mitzvah of Seudas Purim, and everyone really holds that way. It's not just Truma. Everyone always makes a big deal that there's a big machlokas between Truma Sedashin and the Manos HaLevi about this. There's no machlokas. Everyone holds that you're supposed to provide some of the Seudas Purim. Manos HaLevi happened to write a Drush Sefer, and in the Drush Sefer he says, and it also creates beautiful relationships, and it answers Haman's Kitrug of Am Mefuzar Mefurad Ben Ha'amim, that Klal Yisrael is scattered about. I thought it was amazing that Bibi, in his speech today, Dafka mentioned that pasuk. He didn't quote it in the original Hebrew. He saved that for the Chumash at the end. But when he mentioned how we are no longer Mefuzar Mefurad Ben Ha'amim, I forgot how he translated it, no longer scattered and dispersed throughout the nations. He was mamish saying, that's the answer to the Kitrug of Haman, meaning that's what we're trying to accomplish. That's what the Manos HaLevi highlights for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, that we're responding. But the Manos HaLevi wasn't saying that that's a halacha. He was saying that that's an idea. That's what the idea of Shalach Manos is. He wasn't talking about halacha. Halacha clearly is supposed to provide someone to this sperm. So what does it mean? Give them something they have to wash on. Give them some meat. And it should be something that's eaten on Purim, that's eaten during the day. A lot of times people have the Seudas Purim and it's way too late. They already, and this was an old minute, already back to the times of the Trumas Hadesh when people were doing this. They were having the Seudas Purim when Purim was already over, when it's already dark outside. So a lot of people were going to be doing that. So I figured if they're running around delivering Shalach Manos and they had a deli sandwich with them, so they would eat the deli sandwich for lunch. And a lot of people said to me, you know, that I ate the deli sandwich because I was hungry on Purim itself. How many jelly beans can you eat already, you know, from just getting the candy? So it worked well until it got too expensive to give everyone a deli sandwich. So now we just do fondue in our house. So, but that was to fulfill all of these shittos. So it sounds that way from the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, you got to have meat. Now, Magen Avraham writes that even though it says in the Megillah you're supposed to make Yimei Mishta v'Simcha, and Simcha is only Basar v'Yayin, but he says it could be that there's no mitzvah to eat Basar on Purim, because on Yom Tov also you don't have to eat Basar. It's only Bismach v'Yisim v'Shayekayim that there was a Chiyuv to eat Basar on Yom Tov. Even nowadays there's no mitzvah to eat Basar on Yom Tov, so Purim should be no stronger than Yom Tov. Which is a startling statement, meaning a lot of times people are of the thought process that remember someone a number of years ago wanted to make a kiddush on Shabbos and Shul, a milcha kiddush on Shabbos and Shul, and some people were very offended that someone would make like a milcha kiddush. What do you mean? It's Shabbos. How do you have a milcha kiddush? And then, you know, so it's like it felt so un-Jewish to have a milcha kiddush. So the truth is that on Shabbos you can have a suda that's milchig. There's no din that you have to have basar on Shabbos. It just happens to be most people enjoy basar. So we tend to have, like if you have like a 3-day yantif, so there's no way, you know, your wife says there's not a chance that we're going to just turn to carnivores and eat only meat for 3 straight days. So you say, okay, at least Shabbos. Shabbos will have meat meals, and on yantif we'll make one of the yantif meals a milchig meal. Strictly speaking, and we do the same, because I don't call the shots anyway, but strictly speaking, it would be better to have a milchig meal on Shabbos than it would be on Yom Tov. There's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos, probably. Achronim discuss whether there's some level of mitzvah of simcha, but certainly not the same in Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a mitzvah of simcha, as basa, but Magen Avraham says, no, even on Yom Tov, bisman is that. What does the Gemara say in Pesachim? Bisman she beis hamikdash hayakayim, ein simcha lebasar. Back in the day we had a beis hamikdash, that's when you need a basar. Achshav shein beis hamikdash kayim, ein simcha lebiyayin. So he says, on Purim you're going to need basar, you don't even need basar on Yom Tov. It's strange, because the Shulchan Aruch in Tavkuf Chavtes, in Ochlas Yom Tov, says that a person should not be nimshach bebasar v'yayin of a hololus. And the Magen Avraham writes that still you should mitzvah lechel basar. That even though you shouldn't get too carried away on Yom Tov, but it's a mitzvah to eat basar. So how come in Hilchos Purim, he says you don't have to eat basar on Purim, because even on Yom Tov you don't need it. But then in Hilchos Yom Tov, when he actually talks about what you need to do on Yom Tov, he says, yeah, you got to eat meat on Yom Tov. So l'chara, what the Magen Avraham means to say, Rav Asher Weiss points out, is since the chiyuv min haTorah of eating basar is only bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, on Yom Tov, because of the Shalmei Simcha. So on Yom Tov, Bizman Hazeh, they were mesakein that there's a mitzvah to eat basar. But on Purim, where there is no Karban Shlamim to begin with, that there is no Shalmei Simcha that you're trying to remember anyway, to begin with, it wouldn't make sense for Chazal to institute a chiyuva or a mitzvah of eating basar. So he's saying, the Lashon of the Pasuk, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, doesn't prove that you have to eat basar, because there's still a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov b'zman hazeh, and there's no midaraisa, and there's no mitzvah of achilas basar midaraisa b'zman hazeh. So don't prove to me from the pasuk, says the Magen Avraham, that because the Megillah uses the word simcha, that it necessarily means you have to eat meat. Because even on Yom Tov, he's not saying practically you don't have to eat meat on Yom Tov. You do have to eat meat on Yom Tov. Midrabanan. But there is a mitzvah d'oraisa of simcha on Yom Tov. So if you're wearing your d'oraisa glasses, how do you look at the mitzvah of simcha on Yom Tov? You don't have to eat meat on a d'oraisa level, but you do have to do simcha. So apparently the definition of simcha is not necessarily basar. One can accomplish simcha without basar. It is still odd, though, because he's going against the Mechaber and the Rambam, who both highlight basar as a critical part of the mitzvah of simcha on Purim. It's also interesting that Taz, in Simen Tafrei Sadi Gimel, Sifkat and Beis, quotes a Tshuvas Marshal in the name of a Gadol Echad, that paskind, that even though if a person skips Al Anisim in his tefillah on Purim, he doesn't have to repeat Shmon Esrei, but someone who doesn't say Al Anisim in benching does have to repeat Shmona Esrei, because it says you may mishta v'simcha, and therefore Sudas Purim is a chov v'gemura. Sudas Purim becomes an absolute chiyuv, like Sudas Shabbos v'yomtev. So if you skip Al Anisim, you're going to have to repeat. So the Taz says, yeah, that's true, but that's only if you didn't yet say Al Anisim in any benching that day. I mean, let's say you have one of the recipients of my deli sandwich. So he had his deli sandwich for lunch, and he benched and he said Al Anisim. And then he goes to have a suda later with his family, and he forgot Al Anisim. So says the Taz, now you don't have to repeat. You already had suda. But the way the Taz says it, suda shachris. He already had breakfast. So what do you have for breakfast? He had some, bagel and some eggs or something. Breakfast type of food, right? And now, and he benched, and he said Al Anisim. So now when he has a second meal, a flesh meal later in the day, he doesn't have to repeat benching if he forgets Al Anisim. So, if you hold that there's a chiyuv gomer to eat basar for your mitzvah of suda, then why does the fact that he had a bagel and eggs for breakfast help his chiyuv to say Al Anisim? That wasn't a suda. I mean, the whole point is that when you forget Al Anisim, the reason you would have to repeat is because it's a chiyuv to have this meal. It's not optional. Even if you had breakfast, if there's still a chiyuv basar, so then there's a chiyuv to have this meal. So the Taz implies over here that there is no chiyuv of basar. But again, both the Magen Avraham and the Taz do seem to be working against what the Mechaber and the Rambam say explicitly. Now, what are you going to say? That there's like a mitzvah once a day to say Al Anisim in the context of a meal? That doesn't sound that way. That would be a very odd halacha. But that's what the... So it seems from the Rishonim and from the Pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch that one is supposed to have basar. And when it comes to bread also, Pashtus is that the very definition of a meal, we're not going to have time to really get into it, but the very definition of a meal, the Rosh writes in the seven parak of brachos, is basar. I mean, is lechem, is that you have to wash, that there's no havamina, that one could have a sudas yom tov without washing. So he and then Rav Asher goes on to talk about halal, matanos evyonim, mishloach manos, that all of them in some way or another reflect the mitzvah simcha, but we don't have time to get into it right now. Okay, I feel like important, everybody.